Well, I will say for her did not come in today because she sounds like a dick, doesn't she? Oh, she sounds like a nightmare.
Back in the house. Oh my God, season three, girl. And we've never looked as young.
I was going to say, I haven't seen you in a while. Obviously, there's been a longer gap between seasons because there's been a lot going on. But you look like you've had a lot of work done.
She might have had a little trip.
What have you been?
A little trip to the nurse, you know. Just a little cheek implant, chin implant, brow lift, tummy tuck. You know, just some little bits to get me through this gap.
Have you been breaking lockdown rules and sneaking over to Turkey?
Turkey? No, girl. She went to the fancy place. Tijuana, mama.
Oh, Tijuana. Okay. Yes.
She got those Tijuana titties.
Yes, she did. That's a, they do like a 3 for 2 special.
Yeah, so I got three. 3 tits.
Amazing. My God.
Special, different.
Now, Camille, I have a little bone to pick with you because obviously everybody's been asking us and texting us and messaging us, you know, where's the pod? And it's been really hard. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of people think it was my fault, but it was actually yours. Your contract for some reason took way longer to do than mine because your list of demands.
Well,
this is the second year now in a row. Last year it was nothing but fish fillet, and then this year,
well, you see,
I mean, what's been going on?
Me and Ramona Singer from The Real Housewives of New York City have two very similar things in common, and that is we will not sign on the dotted line unless we get that money.
I did hear there a rumor that you were going to be on The Real Housewives girls trip, but I didn't see you in the cast. Obviously, you decided to go with the podcast instead.
I was supposed to be on the girls trip, and yes, alas, I'm a man, so they said no.
Well, that didn't stop Luann.
Oh! Shh, it's our good friend Luann. And what about you, darling? You're looking freaking radiant. This time off has done a girl good.
Thank you. Well, yes, no, I haven't had any work done like yourself, but I have been keeping fit.
You should though, but listen.
I have it. Well, you know, some of us don't. Some of us don't have to pay for it. You know, I like to keep physical, and you've probably seen, obviously, you know, with the podcast on a break, you know, I like keeping things fresh. Well, I started Candy Warhol's hardcore parkour drag brunch, and that's how I've been keeping fit. That's how I've been keeping fit. So every Sunday, everybody comes to my brunch.
Everybody who can afford
the ticket. So we have our drag brunch show. We have the food. And then we go on a parkour trip. So anywhere from the Cliffs of Moher, the Ring of Kerry, Stephen's Green Shopping Centre, you know, and you'll just see me in full drag jumping and leaping from, you know, stairs to rocks, whatever. So it can get a little bit messy because everybody's obviously after having the brunch. And then, you know, 20 minutes later, they're jumping after this drag queen. But
parkour puking.
Yes. Well, you know, so it's kind of a mix. That's how I've lost the weight and also toned up.
Lovely. Looking very svelte.
Thank you.
No, your head hasn't gotten big. No, it's fine. Sorry.
Well, my head's gotten a little better due to the success of the parkour, to be honest. You know, obviously you've heard of my new spin-off, you know, my the parkour pod. Which I do record while running. So, you know, I'll bring a guest on, you know, anyone from Linda Martin to Twink. And we'll just be running and jumping, you know, through the Cliffs of Moher, like from rock to rock, while I'm obviously asking them different questions. So it's a bit hard to listen to be honest. There's just a lot of hyperventilating and deep breathing, but it's entertaining.
I love the list of celebrities. Anyone from Twink to Linda Martin.
But listen, that's neither here nor there. I don't want to promote my other pod, but you can listen to that on the parkourpod.com. So listen, this year we thought we'd switch things up. Obviously, you know, lockdown is finishing. We're able to get back out on the road. You know, there's a lot of demand. You know, we want to see Kiki. We want to see Candy. Where are the friends of Dorothy? So we thought we would record. Where are the gowns? You know, I'm excited to see the gowns this season. And we know this obviously is a podcast. We will be releasing a visualizer every week as well. So you will get
a visual concert, some may say.
Yes. Well, you know, Beyonce did it first, and you know, we like to follow suit. So we will be releasing a video.
Well, Madonna did it first year.
Well,
we won't get into that.
That's neither here nor there.
So first bloody episode back and she coming for my mom. So, she's coming for my mom.
Listen, let's not bring Midge into this. So every week.
Midge, not Midge.
Not Midge. So every week, myself and Geeky will be recording the podcast from a different
fingers
location
crossed.
Around
fingers
Ireland.
Crossed.
Well, fingers crossed, we'll get through at least one episode and there won't be any breaks. But today, for our premiere, because we're interviewing Miss Jamie Lee O'Donnell. Sorry.
Jamie Lee Curtis is in the studio.
Well, she's just doing some late promo for Halloween Kills. The Christmas edition. It's just the same movie with some snow edited into it. Anyway, where are we going and what's happening? So because Jamie Lee O'Donnell from Derry Girls is on the show today, we are recording from Derry, which I'm quite excited about. So we're
up north. We are up the north.
A lot of people ask me whenever I go away, especially Americans, like they're always like, what is the deal with Ireland and Northern Ireland? And maybe we'll give it like, we could give like a little brief rundown of the history of why we have a border.
Yeah, well, we do. There are some alternative histories, I suppose. So do you go with your one? I think we might have different ones.
Well, you know, I think that mine is the one I obviously studied in school, and that was obviously the borders were created because of the good Nadine Coyle agreement. And that was obviously because when Nadine's was revealed to be 16 years old on the Irish Pop Stars and she was kicked out of the band, obviously the country erupted. The South thought that she should have been kicked out. The North thought she should have been included. So they created the border because of that.
Right, yes. I suppose that's the more modern version of it, really. And just a little side note there on Nadine Coyle. I spotted this article online today and it was about Nadine Coyle from Vice. And you were in the article. I was like, are you the official go-to person when somebody's going to write an article about Nadine Coyle?
Yes, and I think I've worked my ass off to become that person.
So funny.
So a little side note, it's 20 years since Nadine Coyle's passport incident on the Irish Pop Stars.
God, we weren't even born.
We weren't even born. But honestly, that made me feel so old. I remember sitting at home and gay gasping when that incident happened and like what a legacy she made for herself. But yeah, so you can go check that out. But yes, that's
probably the more modern history. The older history, I suppose we would have studied it, I suppose, in primary school would have been about when St. Patrick came about and banished all the leprechauns from Ireland. And of course, forced all those leprechauns up north. And then, of course, the king of the leprechauns, Darby O'Gill.
Oh, yes, yes.
Darby
was
just fexed. And there was a lot of drama, a lot of history. And that's why today everyone in Northern Ireland is a little person. No?
I can't even remember what you said, to be honest, because when I realized where you were going, I really tuned out in a tunnel of fear.
Okay, in case it gets caught, and that's why now Northern Ireland is only where leprechauns live.
I really love as well that every season, for some reason, Darby O'Gills and the Little People like manages to make its way into the podcast, which I kind of obsessed over.
Well, I mean, she's iconic.
I mean, speaking of gay gasping and speaking of some of our favourite leprechauns in Ireland, I think it's time to finally, I mean, after what feels like years, to catch up with our dear queer pop culture expert, Max. I think it's time for gay gasp.
Yes, let's gasp. Well, Max, you're looking radiant. How have you been?
Do you know what? I'm going to apologise straight up. Obviously, you've seen I've packed on a few pounds. That, of course, was for the big role I had during the summer, my big film breakthrough. Yes, I played, of course, as you know, I played the giant sandworm in Dune recently with my new celebrity lover, Timothy Chalamet. Yes.
Yeah, that's your big comeback since your portrayal of the sandworm in Beetlejuice.
This is it, but you know what? It's gas, isn't it? Movie making isn't what it used to be. Back then it was all, they had to line me out there, to stretch me out there, to paint me in black and white lines, to give me a funny haircut. Now, do you know what? All I had to do was put on a green suit and wobble around on the floor down in Connemara Beach. And they shot me there.
And Max, do you ever worry about getting typecast as these?
Oh, good point, actually.
It's
yes,
a big worry,
the sandworm.
Well, do you know what?
Yeah.
I can't memorize lines. Mm. I'm not particularly photogenic.
Right. Well, yes, we know.
I don't have any sort of a following.
Yes.
But
yes, well,
I excel at just lying on sand wobbling around the place. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like I connect with people through that. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. So that's how you got cast on Love Island as well.
I'm fine with that. Absolutely. 100%.
Yes. Yes. Well, I'm delighted for you. You know, it's been a really hard year for people who have been trying to play sandworms. And I think it's going to really, 2022 is going to be your year, honestly, with the release of all of these really exciting projects.
This is it. Sandworm projects. Absolutely.
Max, it feels like it's just been too long, honestly. And again, going back to what I was saying at the start, we obviously have Kiki to blame for that. But listen, the two of us are back together. And are you just brimming with pop culture news?
I am today. You know what I mean? I know.
Okay.
You know, Jamie Lee, you know, got me thinking of all this, you know, just 90s nostalgia and what it was like to be, you know, in school in the 1990s, which is great. But you know what I was thinking? Obviously, I know what I was doing as a closeted homosexual in the 1990s. But it got me wondering, what were the other gays doing in the 1990s, you know? And that kind of ate me alive from the inside out.
Jesus, like a sandworm.
Yeah, like a sandworm. Like absolutely. So I was, that's the third film. I can't go spoilers. I signed the contract. So obviously, ladies, we have Jamie Lee O'Donnell on, obviously from a very, very famous show about going to school in Ireland. And of course, I have some wonderful memories that made me gay gasp when I think back about them, of going to school in rural Ireland, you know, the ups and the downs of childhood and education, really. And I really got to wondering, what were the other gays in Ireland up to, you know, during their school years, and what made them gay gasp? You see, but the only problem is, I only know two other gays, so I'm going to have to ask you. So, Keeks, what used to make you gay gasp in school back in the day?
What I was doing in the 90s as a young woman, as a young woman, was the Spice Girls. I think of the 90s, I think of the Spice Girls, hands down. Spice Girls were my childhood thing. Are you okay, Candy?
We might have had similar answers.
You have the same thing.
Which goes to show we're very similar women, but you take this one and you run with it. Well, you sauntered.
Okay. But you know, it's nothing very over the top. Like, it's not a bad shock the two gays were into the Spice Girls in the 90s. Fuck me, like, Jesus Christ.
So I remember going to see the Spice Girls movie, okay? So this was my first time going to a cinema, okay?
Is that actually your first time going to the cinema?
Yeah, 100%. I was like 7 or 8 or something like that. Yeah.
You were 8 years old when you went to the cinema for the first time.
Yeah, you see, I lived out the country, so like, going to the cinema was an event. Okay. We were like taking the car half an hour out the road.
Right, like, okay. And what was the, oh my God, what a brilliant first movie to see.
I know, so gay, lived for it.
And what do you remember? Like, I remember going to see the Spice Girls movie as well, and the absolute excitement inside the cinema. That, what do you remember about it?
Just the visions in my head is literally that day, and literally the queue outside, because girl, I'd never seen a queue like it. They were bursting down that door in Tullamore to get into that cinema. My God.
Pop music just being a major gay gasp for the two of us. What about you, Max? What made you gay gasp as a teenager or a young adolescent in the 90s?
It's because I am slightly earlier along the line than you. But it was probably...
The word is older.
Yeah, listen, I was being very fucking careful what I said there. But anyway, it would have to be... Hey Now, Girls Just Want to Have Fun by Cyndi Lauper, and the music video with the drag queens, which of course was at the end of Tu Wong Fu. And I hadn't seen Tu Wong Fu at the time because, you know, remember they used to come out in the cinema, then there'd be a bit of a wait. Yeah. But the Cyndi Lauper song came out first, and friend of the pod, Coco Peru, in there, you know. Yes. You know, it was just
what,
like,
do you remember, like, when you saw that video, like, how old would you have been?
I'd say I was 10/11 when I saw it. And
did you know that they were drag queens?
I had a good well, to be fair, there was a lot of let's say just a transgender politics going on in my family at the time. So I was acutely aware that these ladies were drag queens and were part of the LGBTQ community. Because if anyone doesn't know, my aunt is a very, very famous trans activist called Dr. Lydia Foy.
Yes,
and
she
happened to transition around that time. So she was very active in our lives, and we were very, very aware of the LGBT community even back then. It was very, very normal. I don't know, it's terrible to have gay stuff on. You know what I mean? As in, it wasn't something that was, in our house, it wasn't, oh, Jesus, turn off the telly. You know,
Whereas it was for us. Yeah. It was for a lot of young gay people. I don't know whether it's, you know, Adam Rickett or Two on Three were wanting to be one of the Spice Girls, like having those kind of gay, like queer moments. If you have a queer person in your family, it's probably easier to watch those things and feel comfortable.
But wasn't there such a big difference between being raised with like RTE and then having the channels? Because
there's
not too much that could go wrong. There's not too much we were exposed to that could go wrong watching RTE.
Well, Max, my love, as always, it is an absolute pleasure. I'm delighted we're back now. I look forward to these weekly musings from yourself and your sandworm ways.
This is
so it. So while we prep for Jamie Lee O'Donnell after the break... Girl, I keep going to say Jamie Lee.
Yeah, Bridges. I did as well at the start of the thing.
So while we prepare for Jamie Lee O'Donnell after the break, Max, I think you just get out there and get running, girl, because Hollywood is waiting.
Thanks, Max. See you next week.
Letting you down now because this is like
you look gorgeous.
This is the most makeup I've had on in months.
You just stop.
There's no point. My eyebrows are like all over the place. I was unfortunately I was a victim of the early 2000s when it comes to eyebrows. If you know what I mean. It's just like patch city.
Are yours drawn on?
I pencil some in at the bottom because there's loads of patches, and I've naturally really dark eyebrows, and they were quite thick. R.I.P. Back in the day.
Yeah.
Now it's just like you can really see the patches because the hair's so dark.
Yeah, because the last year started shaving mine off because it's just so easy. But then obviously as a boy, I look like a mentler. But my fear now is that in a year, there's just going to be nothing there anymore for when I want it.
Right.
What happened to you?
Look, mine was the waxing every single week. Like, it was religious. You know, in your school uniform, you're like, get your eyebrows waxed, turn them into three lines back in the day. And now it just hasn't grown back properly. That's why I know a lot of ones my age would get the microblading.
Yeah,
because it's tragic. Like, who made that?
That was such a thing.
Fashion? Well, it was awful. I remember the scares in my school that had, like, see this, the ball part here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They plucked away the middle, so it was like a hook. And that was the style.
Such a thing.
I know.
I remember just my sisters and everything was just, it was like slicked back hair and then the pencil eyebrow. And then my younger sister a few years later started doing that, you know, like a really thick mascara and the eyeliner, and it was just really pale
foundation. And then the lashes that made you look like, because my eyelids are quite low, so I remember wearing them and it looked like I was asleep because they dipped down before they go off, you know, the big tacky one that looks super glamorous, but then if you're in a way like half caught, it's just like you're sort of half asleep.
Struggling to see.
I remember like looking at old three of my friends, we thought we were gorgeous. You know when you're like, oh my God, we're killing it. It's like we used to wear, do you remember Primark done? We used to call them the sucky Annie Nags. You know the ones that they're like briefs, but they pull you in your stomach.
Like a toy.
Really high waisted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we would wear those just as the bottoms. I really like cool t-shirt with like an ironic slogan tucked in, knee socks, and then like new looks, biggest heels. And we were like, God, we're gorgeous.
Stop.
We look back.
Style.
It just wasn't being paid by the hour to be there.
It's like our first time in drag as well. There was no telling us that we were not the most beautiful women. Yeah. I swear to God.
I know, in some way though, I love that we all went through something like that. But like, if I could talk to my younger self, I'd be like, stop. Stop now.
Stop this now.
And what was the point of clear mascara exactly? Like, What was that product for? Like,
clear mascara. I've never even heard of that.
Clear mascara was such a thing. It was before you were like allowed to wear makeup. You know, when you were pretty
in school.
Young.
Yeah,
it was like a stepping stone. So there was clear mascara. We used to all use the same one. We're like, let's go to the toilets and just clap ourselves in bacteria. And we were like, this makes such a difference with one eyebrow, no makeup on, and clear mascara. You were like,
obsessed. Oh my God. Have you been home for the whole madness of everything?
Well, I was working last year. So thankfully, I was lucky enough to. I've done two films last year, one just before the pandemic hit.
Sorry.
And then one just kind of in the middle of the lockdowns in London, where I just came over and shot a film, which was brilliant. So I've been here for the last wee while. Just, I think, like, because I've moved away and I've lived around different places and stuff, but I sort of find it doesn't seem to matter where you're based. You know, you always sort of travel for work, but We had big plans this year to move away, but obviously they're sadly just kind of sitting there now until other countries let us in.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah.
That's it.
What about the movies and stuff? You've said, I mean, that's unreal that you were able to film two movies.
Yeah, two.
So I did one in South Africa at the start of last year. It's called Redeeming Love, and that'll be out, well, I don't know, because everything's changing on cinemas and all that sort of stuff. So it was an American production, so I think whenever they're good to go with it. I think it should be soon.
South Africa, and that was actually, as well.
Oh, it was beautiful. We filmed in a place called Stellenbosch, yeah, which was just outside Cape Town. It was absolutely gorgeous. And my days off, I went, there's loads of museums and stuff like that. It's such a beautiful town.
Oh, gorgeous.
It was like 30 degrees, maybe more, slightly more in January.
Lovely.
And that, while we were filming that on the news, it was like this talk of this virus. And I was like, oh, it'll be fine. No big deal. Mm-hmm. I literally got back in March, and then like, it was a week later, everything shut down.
Yeah.
So we just got back, I know.
And what was the whole like setup there? Like, can you say what it's about or anything?
Yeah, so it's based on a book with the same name, and it's set in, do you know, like around the 1800s, Gold Rush in California.
Fabulous. Oh, wow.
And it's, I play a little prostitute, so.
Yes, you do. I'm loving that for you.
But you know, the bunch of people that I was like, yes, I'm playing a prostitute, they were like, yeah. Like, no question. I'm like, okay, great. But, yeah, so yeah, it was just really fun. Loads of great cast in it. It was just the dress up, the attention to detail with the costume, the corsets, they had all the traditional undergarments, even though it was like really warm, obviously, but they just wanted to have that authenticity. The sets and everything were just,
unreal.
You walk in the warehouse and it was just like you were transported back. It was so beautiful. Wow. So great to work.
Amazing.
To work there, but so obviously came back lockdown, and then I think it was end of August time I went back to London to film a movie called The Little People.
Oh wow.
And that's like a horror, it's very different, yeah, from modern day. It's more like a creature feature.
Brilliant.
Which, okay,
yeah, so my cousin's really, really into horror in particular, so she's kind of my go-to, because in Kavina, when it comes to like creature features and sections of horror, yeah, she's really into, you know, that sort of subgenres and everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she's dying to see it. She doesn't want to know anything about it. But okay. It's a creature feature. It's,
so do you mean like monsters and stuff are after you?
Oh, creatures. Like the little people are actual creatures.
I love it.
I know. Gosh. It's brilliant. Like we saw some of the, because a lot's going to be done with CGI and stuff. And we saw, mm-hmm, some of them, and they're brilliant. It's so creepy.
Oh my God.
Very cool.
Was that like really fun to be like doing a horror movie? Because that's so different for you.
It was so fun because it's, not to give too much away, yeah, but there's a lot of like bloody stuff as well, because it's that sort of movie. Mm-hmm. So getting to play around with different things in your costume and different sort of tones where you're, you know, you kind of end up all, there's a bit of a roller coaster in terms of what you're doing and your emotion and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty fun. And there's a couple of things in it I don't want to obviously give away, but mm-hmm, a bit slightly stunty, I'll say.
Class.
That they're just great to film. And I work with some really good people as well. Everybody was sort of on it to do it. I think everyone was like, right, we need to get this done. We're in the middle of lockdown. And yeah, everyone was so happy to have a job.
Back at work as well. Yeah, unreal.
That's so cool though, getting to do a period piece and then a horror movie after it, like very eclectic. I love.
It's brilliant. Just mad, you know, just to get these opportunities. And I see this as well to other actors, and these must be the same. Sometimes you stand there and you go, is this my job? This is really weird.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather like a movie come out now in the midst of lockdown, or do you want that like premiere experience and do you want to go see it in a cinema?
Do you know what? I don't really mind either way. I think that whole sort of premiere experience, that's lovely. I haven't really done it that much, to be honest. I've done more TV, but I think, I don't know, it doesn't really, I mean, that would be really nice to have a nice glamorous night out. Any night out would be nice now, I think.
Wouldn't it?
Even if they were like, so we're going to air it in the local Lidl. Do you want to pop down?
I'll be there, yeah.
In the gown.
I'll see you in a minute.
Hey, gown. Yes. Like,
but I don't really mind either way. I think whatever's going to be the best chance at getting a good audience and people to see it.
Do you know Netflix as well, just on a really random side note, added season 2 of Dairy Girls and then took it down the same day.
Yes.
I was livid.
I was livid.
You know what? That?
Didn't know this.
Yeah, well, I don't know why though, because people, like, we get loads of messages, people ask us directly, like, what's this about, Jamie Lee? Can you sort this out? Like, I'm going to write Netflix and we're like, Netflix, guys, so-and-so from Cork's just not happy, so.
Oh, God.
Tell me about like you growing up and stuff. Like, when did you get into the acting?
I've always been into acting since I was really young. I was a very dramatic child.
Great.
So I used to, I remember years ago, I had like an assortment of hats, you know, those, you know, that, like, I don't know where I got them, but yeah, they were all very, very intense. They were all different characters and vibes and moods. And I remember just, because I'm the youngest of four kids.
So yeah.
I'm like, they all sang and all dancing. So by the time I came out, my parents were just like, oh, right, okay. But can I have a hat that looks like, you know, a period, blah, 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 covered in glitter? Like, yes.
That's right.
You know what I mean? So I ended up with these, like, I used to love dressing up in costumes and putting on little plays, usually just for myself. And I was really into poetry and performance and stuff. And I just kind of love that escapism. So I think I've always been into performance and acting. And I've always been a very determined person. So, like, I remember recently I found a wee diary in my parents' house. It was you remember Forever Friends, the wee bears?
Yes.
They were big in the 90s, like the little bear guys with the bows and stuff. So I wrote little diaries. And I think in primary one or something, I was about six.
Yeah.
And I wrote down it, when I grew up, I'm going to be a famous actress.
Yeah.
Love it.
I never found it. So I'm always determined for it. And I always wanted to do it. I think it was slightly difficult growing up, maybe here, in terms of access to...
That's what I was going to ask, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to the arts and stuff like that. I think there's a lot of talent in Derry, and I think there's a lot of ambition.
Hello, Nadine Coyle.
Hello, right. So I think, I remember myself in particular, I was always like kind of in the local paper or like going up to the local theatre for like auditions and...
Great.
Just get my head on there, just like people are probably like, what? Mm. You know, little chart. And like, hey, me again. They're like, what? You're 12.
With a different hat.
Yeah, a different hat. Like, you know what I mean? They were like, you're 12, get out. So I was always just really like, I've done a lot of like little dance classes and just anything creative. Mm-hmm. And there's a few good theatres within Derry that were really, some of them were really starting off with, in the 90s and early 2000s and loads of programmes and stuff. I didn't go to drama school or anything. It was just about too expensive for my family at the time. That was quite a while ago. So people think you can get loaned. And I know, I think things have changed now. I actually went, I did myself and my friend. This is a funny story. We were doing a drama class or something, and somebody won a place at De Montfort. No, not De Montfort. No, what do you call it? Not De Montfort. It was a place just outside Dublin. They'd done like a drama school for a few weeks in the summer.
Okay. So yeah.
One of the girls won it. And then she couldn't go. So they split the prize for me and an argument where they pay the other half. And going down to Dublin. It was Gormanstown, somewhere in Gormanstown.
Okay.
Just outside Dublin. Mad. And I remember going down and it was 2 weeks of just all theatre kids and just like the gayest old time. It was bright.
Yes. You feel like fame.
And you're just like, I'm having a moment, guys. And you're like, okay, go with it. It was just that really comfortable.
Yes.
Like, be yourself environment. We wrote plays, we danced. It was, and we lived in dorms and it just felt so American-y.
Yeah. You know, how old were you then?
Like, what was I? 15, maybe 14.
Oh, that's a brilliant age, because that probably just gave you that extra spark of like, I want to do this.
You're finding your tribe as well at that stage. You're like, here are my people.
Definitely. Yes. And I think I remember coming out of it being like, God, I'm good. You know, the worst play, I think I was just like, it was all, there was about 30 of this. So it was just like screaming for attention. And you walk away like, nailed it. Got it.
Yes.
And you just need that sense of confidence when you walk away from something like that. You're just like,
yeah. Totally do. Love that. Did you do pantos and stuff?
I did. I danced in pantos. I worked as a dancer. And it was actually, I got my first agent through a panto I did here in Derry in a theatre called the Millennium Forum. It's quite a big theatre. And it was obviously brilliant as well. From then I got an agent. And then from then I started auditioning. That agent was then struck off, unfortunately, for God knows what.
Yeah.
Quite dramatic rise to where my agent does now, but I've had a few on and off, but that was my first one that started me in the auditioning circuit for TV. So that was that step ahead from dancing. And I remember auditioning and getting this job. It was called 6 Degrees.
Oh, I know that. That was on RTE over here.
Yeah. And I remember people were like, so like everyone's talking about what they've done and did it. And I was just like, it's brilliant. And they're like, what are you doing? I was like, I danced in panto as Pocahontas. And they were like, okay, that's not really a thing. But it was just like, you know, just like going forward, like I just had to make my own wee path. Do you know what I mean? To get to where I am, because it wasn't a straightforward, you know, it wasn't very easy sometimes. I know some people have it a lot harder, but it just wasn't the most accessible, straightforward career. So I found myself having to just sidestep slightly, but always moving forward as much as possible. Mm. I look back in some of the auditions and I think about them and I'm like, oh my God, if they ever came out, they're so bad. Because I didn't go to drama school. Again, you learn from mistakes, I think, more so.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
So I remember going to an audition and I was so nervous and I looked straight on the camera. I was just like, and then I could see, you know, you can register people's faces going, I could sense that something wasn't right, but I didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. Left. And you'll be surprised, but I didn't actually get that job. But on to the next. But there was, there's so many stories of, you know, when you're trying your best to, like,
I know,
to make it, like, just jump. I remember when I lived in Manchester, getting a 6-hour bus down to London for an audition because I couldn't afford the train. It was so expensive.
Oh,
and a 6-hour train back, they saw me for about 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, great. It's like, thanks.
But looking back on all of those auditions now, as painful as some of them might have been, it must be incredibly satisfying seeing yourself now working on all of these amazing projects.
It is. It's such a nice feeling. But also, I feel very proud that I was always grafting. And even after I finished filming season one, because it took so long to come out,
yeah,
I ended up working in Easons and Swarovski. So I had those two jobs, thankfully. Both stores were across from each other, so it was handy.
Yeah, right.
I did a thing for BBC Two, and then I just found myself, like, you know, when I was talking to my agent, they were like, it's going to be a while before things come in because it hasn't been out yet in your profile, and all these expectations have to be adjusted mm-hmm. to the reality of it, and you've bills to pay, and obviously yeah. I don't rely on anybody but myself. So I was like, oh, fuck it, I'm gonna just go down and get these two Christmas jobs. And the thing was, like, the start of that year was working on a call centre just before Dairy Girls.
Yeah.
So I knew that this wasn't going to be the year that was going to necessarily take off, because I had only filmed
yeah.
Dairy Girls and then filmed the BBC Two thing about our trip.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't going to be out to the following year. So there was a lot of time left where I didn't want to sit about. I just sort of thought, well, I could just sit here. Mm. I need into my savings, but what's the point? I might as well work whenever I'm not known as much.
Exactly.
I had no idea my Dairy Girls was going to take off as well. We didn't know.
Exactly. Sure, nothing's guaranteed to be a success. So fair play for you for getting those jobs. And actually fair play to anyone who's worked in a call centre. I once worked in a call centre about 10 years ago, and I lasted almost 3 weeks.
That's like fair play to you, because it's either the call centre. I worked in the same call, well, the same company twice.
Yeah.
One in Belfast and one in Derry. And both times I did the 6-week training, because you're on like 8 to 5. Mm-hmm. And then lasted about a week in the phones. I was like, oh, my God.
Yes, the training's grand, girl. The training, you're like, that's fine.
At a desk, you're like, yeah, 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 writing stuff down. I'm going
to do this.
Yeah, and then suddenly it's like, so you work on Saturday night until 12 and people are just going to complain on your ear. You're like, no.
Yeah.
That's good. There is so much talent in Ireland. There's so much, I think, as a country with so much history for a start, so much has gone on that it sort of shapes us as people. And that you're inevitably going to have good stories from that, and good relationships and interest in people and interest in, you know, pockets of our culture. Because it's such a small place, obviously. But if you go from, like, Derry to Cork, you're going to get different, completely different backgrounds, relationships, how we view things, similarities as well, because we're all the same country. But in terms of, you know, your background and growing up and things like that. And I think if such a small place with so much sort of history and flavour in it, it's inevitable. Well, that this is, like, if you think, I don't know about you, get used, but, like, there's, I don't know, one family in Derry that hasn't got a fantastic singer, an amazing dancer, Irish dancer, or somebody who can play the part. You know what I mean? It just doesn't happen. Everybody has somebody in their family, you know?
Well, like the three of us. But do you think we're finally coming to a stage now where we can create strong international level content and projects together with Irish artists at home?
I would love that. I would love that sort of, like, a hub. You know what I mean? I think that's something I would love to work towards, you know, if you get that level of notoriety, to bring it back, you know, because I think a lot of the things for me, especially growing up, was access to certain projects and opportunities, and also access to information and knowledge about this industry that just wasn't there for me growing up. And maybe it was for others, but for me, that was the one thing that I found as I was getting older, and I was sort of getting my foot in the door with this industry, was thinking back and going, God, that really wasn't there for me. Or that, like, even things of how to do a self-tape, even things of what to do in an audition, and there was little classes and stuff like that. But then to take your career to the next step, that information I felt wasn't there, you know, for me. Especially with the internet and stuff like that now, and social media, it's a lot easier to access stuff. And that's what I want to do. They're on the same sort of vibe, but I want to find out how they got there. You know what I mean? Instead of this sort of secret club, almost.
That would be amazing if you could get involved in Irish youth theatre companies and then help them with those career aspects that you might have struggled with when you didn't have that help. And I'd say then being part of projects like Dairy Girls creates a massive platform for you to be able to do that. Does it still feel surreal to see the success of the show?
It is. I mean, we hoped for this. We loved filming it. We thought it was the funnest thing, you know, while we were on set, and seeing everybody spurt, like, and not to see both smoke up bums, but everybody's so funny. I mean, you know, like, whenever we're filming, if like Nicola or Luis or something has a line, and you know that this is, there's going to be a song coming up, you can almost feel people going, and you can nearly hear people like holding and laughing as soon as the director goes hot, everyone just bursts out laughing. So when you've got that sort of environment, you hope that it does really well and other people appreciate it. And the fact that like we get messages from, I got messages recently from like Brazil and Argentina, and people like lots of love from New Zealand. It's just, it's bizarre. But it's brilliant. It's really great. You get people like sending messages and they think they're giving you a compliment, but it's like, oh, you're funny for women. And you're just like,
oh,
you need that sort of.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Jamie, I just have to ask you, as you're a queen from Derry, mm-hmm. and I'm really, really obsessed, how big is Nadine Coyle in Derry?
Big, really big. And rightly so. She's put Derry on the map. After the likes of, there's been quite a few big actresses come out of Derry as well. So it's good that there's more people coming. There was Roma Downey, I think. There was Brona Gallagher. I'm sorry. I remember growing up watching like Roma Downey and stuff. And I remember thinking that was like the goal. She was like in America and it was amazing. And funnily enough, she was one of the exec producers on the movie I did in South Africa. And she walked on the set. Wow. And I was like, I know. I got the call sheet the night before. And I was looking and just had a wee nosy through it. And I was like, Roma Downey. I thought, it's obviously not the same. That's far too much of a coincidence for it to be actual, because this is an American production as well, filming in South Africa. So I got on the set and I was like, this Roma Downey, is that? And they were like, oh yeah, yeah, she's from Derry. And I was like, oh my fucking God. I was on the phone. I was like, guys, Roma Downey's here, Roma Downey's here. But it's like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? So bizarre. But I'd said that many things to people. Well, I started to come across a bit weird about stalkery. So they were like, yeah, yeah, she's going to be on set. And I had already talked to her, like five people. And then eventually the fifth person was like, she's going to be on set. And I was like, oh shit, she's going to think I'm obsessed with her, which I am. And then she was the nicest. Mm. She was the nicest person. Lovely, super glamorous, but just like the nicest person ever. So lovely to talk to her. She was like, do you want to get a photo? And I was like, oh my God. Took a photo and, oh, I get the high five. But she it was just lovely to meet her. It felt like it was like a full circle moment, you know, for me.
Definitely.
It was lovely. And she's just, I've kept in touch with her. She's lovely. She loves Derry Girls. And it was just so lovely. It was just bizarre to like, I know, she walked on the set and I was like, the super slave. Oh my God, there she is. Wow. You know, like, kind of like, okay.
Okay, so it is now time for our listener questions section. And first up, we have the stunning Karma Dahl, a fellow queen from Derry. Take it away.
Hello, Jamie Lee Darling. This is Karma Dahl here from Derry. And my question is, if you were to ever play Snatch Game on RuPaul's Drag Race, who would you play? And can you give us a wee taste of that impersonation?
I would do Natalie Cassidy.
Maybe. That's such a good choice.
Me?
Yes. Yes.
But I feel like I would end up doing, no, do you know what he called? Oh my God, I'm so bad with names. Do you know that comedian who does not like, Cassidy?
Oh, Morgana Robinson.
Morgana Robinson. I'm just doing this, yeah? That one, is it?
So
I done a
good
job with my friend, my good friend, Ian.
Yeah.
And we were doing The Cripple of Finnish Man in Dublin in the Gaiety. And every single night we would do bits of Morgana Robinson's, or we would do, what do you call her? I'm so bad with names. I'm claustrophobic that round. I just can't.
Oh, Gemma Collins, yes.
So we're doing, like, we would just dance side stage, because obviously we do the show quite a lot. And we just, every so often, turn to each other and we go, just doing this, yeah? Just with each other. Or what was the other one Gemma Collins said? It's not for me, guys. It's just not for me.
They're such good choices, but like Natalie Cassidy for the win.
Is that the, have you seen the one where she is in the car? So I just found my JLS.
The JLSCD, yes.
Morgana Robinson's so brilliant. Good. She's such a talented person. Oh my God.
Oh no, I'm actually obsessed with her. She's so good. Okay. Let's go on to the next listener question.
Hi, Jamie Lee. This is Eric from South London. And I'm a huge fan of yours. And I just want to know, who would you snog, marry and avoid? Please, Louisa, Saoirse and Nicola, thank you.
Jamie Lee, the gays and their questions.
The gays got some good questions. These are spicy, I like it. Snog, marry, avoid. Ooh, I would snog Louisa, because she's gorgeous and she looks like a gazelle.
She's stunning.
She really does in real life. She's just, I would probably, I'd have to marry Nicola, because she's really organised and she's kind of on top of stuff and she remembers everything, so it'll be really handy. She's just like that. And I'd have to avoid Saoirse, because I avoid Saoirse, but sometimes when we get together, it gets to a point where we're like, we're going to have to leave, we're going to end up like drinking ourselves to death.
Yes.
Or like having the very crack good. To death sometimes. But our sort of everything, self and Saoirse, it's like the wee terrible twins. Whenever we begin. It's more for my health if us
yes, would
be 6 months' time, just like alcoholics.
Love
like,
it.
Wow.
Love it.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, see, I feel like we all need a friend like that. Some of us are the friend like that, but like also in small doses. Okay, so next question.
Hey, Jamie Lee. This is Joan Cullen from Antrim with a question from himself. As you know, the last time we played Derry was in 96. What a night. Our mascot is the Red Dragon, and he wants to know, if you were a dragon, what colour would you be and what would your name be? P.S. You are class.
Oh, I would love it. If I was a dragon, what colour would it be? I don't think it'd just be one colour. I think I'd like to... you know what, it would be great? Like half a Union Jack, half a British flag, just like bring the nation together. Or failing that, which nobody would let me do that, let's be honest. I would probably have, do you know, like a chameleon, you know, so it can change with your emotions?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That would be pretty.
That's a good choice.
And if you're a bit fucked off, people just go, whoa, actually just leave it.
Let's leave her alone.
Name wise, I don't know. Name wise. Jeannie the dragon. Wee Jeannie the dragon. She smokes fags. She's a wee tattoo.
Smokes fags and has a tattoo. That's like a kid's cartoon waiting to happen. Okay, let's go on to the next one.
Hi, Jamie Lee. This is Octavia from Dalkey in Dublin. So I think Michelle would be some crack on a night out, as you would say on the show. I want to know, what's your choice of drink? When was your last hangover? And who out of the cast is the biggest lightweight? Thanks.
Great questions. So what did I drink? I used to be really into pints, obviously. Mm-hmm. But then as you get a bit older, you kind of look down, you're like, oh, I look pregnant.
It's not a good look.
Yeah. And then you start to get like intolerances and all that, you know, you start to shrivel up inside a wee bit, no matter how much mascara you put on. So I do have a drink every so often, but I'm not a big drinker anymore. I think I really enjoyed myself when I was younger, and just, you know, you drink it to the point of almost death. It's ridiculous.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What were we doing? No.
But I don't think that's sustainable as you get older.
No,
so
yeah, not at all.
Thinking about these things. You're taking vitamins in the morning. But I think so I'm not a huge drinker. So when I do, I like to get a bit fancy. So I would have I do like a brandy.
Stop.
And Diet Coke.
Very classy.
Yeah. Cigar. But no, I do love a brandy, or like a Cavassier sort of vibes. Ooh, with
the sorry now, the notions coming out of
one TV show and I'm ready, I'm on the brandy. Do you know what I mean? I go from pints of bloody harp to, I'm like, guys, it's just brandy now. I'm famous. Amble's a bite. Nicole got me into Prosecco. Of course she drinks Prosecco, darling. She's very, very Prosecco lady. So that is nice as well, but I feel like I enjoy, whenever we're doing daggers, we're all together, I like drinking Prosecco with Nicola, because I feel like it's a Nicola vibe.
I love that. Yeah, it always gets you in the mood to go out.
Yeah.
Okay, almost there. Next one.
Hi, everyone. This is Concepta from Cork. First time caller, long time listener. Hiya, Jamie Lee. Myself and my partner, Angus, want to know, what were you like in school? Were you popular or not? And did you ever have anything mortifying happen to you in school, girl? Bye.
I know who that is. I think I know who that is.
What?
I don't think that's somebody called Concepta.
It is?
She sounds identical to a girl, another actor I know, Julie.
Really? No, see, everybody always says that everyone in Cork sounds the exact same.
Well, maybe it's just Cork. She sounds exactly like a friend of mine, Joy. That's so mad. Sorry, I don't even think it wasn't... What did she ask me? What I was like in school, I was kind of... Well, I was kind of always in my head, like, I'm going to be an actor. I don't need this, which is ridiculous. And then I remember my parents sitting me down being like, shut up and learn, you know. I was really into learning. I did enjoy school for the most part. I wasn't anything special or anything. It wasn't, you know, it was just at school. I wasn't like one of the guys that everyone loved or anything. But I wasn't you know, shunned either. I was just pretty much a basic bitch, I think. Always got in trouble for talking. But in terms of like my other classmates, I was very talkative. I was very opinionated. So I always had a real sense of right and wrong to me. So if something wasn't fair, I physically could not let it go. And if the teacher was like, stop talking, and it wasn't me, I'd be like, it wasn't me. I couldn't accept the injustice of stuff. So that got me into a bit of trouble. You know, the sort of don't answer me back attitude the teacher. And I mean, like, I remember being like, go away. That's how conversations work. So from that, I was about gobby. Embarrassing. Oh, God, so many. I have so many things where I'm like, oh, even now, like, it doesn't change. I remember one time going to school really, just really early in the morning. I don't know if I should tell this one. It's really bad.
Well, you have to tell it now.
And I know I'm not the only one that this has happened to, but you know, you're getting ready for school, it's really early and you're blah, blah, blah. And I remember going to school and like itching around my waist. I was like, what is that? What's going on? And I looked and I still had my bra on around my waist. Plus I was with mom bra hanging out of my jumper and like the lips. I was like, oh, okay, tuck it on, just like sit in class, like no one's happening. Like you're not wearing two bras. I would do stuff like that. You're just like, oh, bras galore.
I mean, I have my bra around my waist now, so I mean, that's totally fine. Okay, so here is our last question of the day.
My name is Joan and I am a caller from Kickstown. I'm a massive huge fan, by the way. I absolutely love you. You're one of my definite and my top three of the Dairy Girls. I was just wondering, obviously these are very unprecedented times, and I, when the shops basically open again, I'd love to take my lovely daughter Olivia to Derry for shopping. I thought it'd be lovely, we could go up, get a hot chocolate and walk the walls. Now I was wondering, is there many great shops for young girls in and around Derry? And just, would it be safe, you know, as a Mother's Daughter's Day? I was wondering, would there be a safe atmosphere around the town? I've never actually been to Derry. My father was a doctor and he just was never mad on me going up there. So I just really want to, you know, break the cycle. So yeah, thank you so much.
Well, I will say for her to not come in today because she sounds like a dick, doesn't she? Oh, she sounds like a nightmare.
She does.
And Olivia sounds like a brat. I hate Olivia, really. You can just tell. Olivia's a wee asshole. You can just tell.
You could just tell. Okay, I can finally tell you now that all, except the very first question, all of those questions were all of your friends.
Okay. Do you know what? That's so funny because one of them...
You guessed it. I just tried to throw you off. Oh my God. You guessed your friend from Cork and okay, I tried to throw you off.
Okay, so it's all fucking... Who asked the dragon question?
Okay, let's go through them. Yeah, the dragon question was Kathy, the Dairy Girls costume designer.
Oh, okay, of course. Kathy,
yeah. And then Snog, Marry, Avoid was Louisa's boyfriend.
Kelvin.
Yes, Kelvin. So not actually okay. A gay guy.
Of course.
You guessed your friend from Cork, Julie, straight
Julie.
Away.
I knew it was Julie.
That was that was so hard. And I was just trying to play.
And of course, Saoirse's big watery mouth wrecked it. It was going grand.
Well, the thing was, Saoirse said to put hers on last. Saoirse said to put Julie on last because she'd give it away. And I was like, Saoirse has the most recognizable
accent.
She's
like, I'm such a chameleon with this voice. I know her. Like, obviously,
her face is
we talk all the time. And obviously, she had to wrap the arse of the question and include a second character.
So many characters.
Doctor, a dad doctor. Right away. Saoirse, bring it up.
That was like the best monologue. And also, Louisa did really well because you didn't guess Louisa. I actually have to say thank you to Louisa Harland and Saoirse Monica Jackson because I suggested that they do one or two and then suddenly there was an influx from like all your friends. It was so good. So thank you so much to the two of them for making that happen.
Brilliant crack. I thought, God, these are really interesting. Usually it's the same questions of like, has your life changed since Dairy Girls and blah, blah, blah. And then now it's like a dragon. I was like, yeah, this is great.
I was so happy with that dragon question because I was like, are they going to ask you like basic questions? Like, are you anything like your character in the show? But no, a dragon.
Just literally Google that question. I've answered it about 10,000 times. The answer is no.
Yeah, no, that is a fictional character. No. Jamie, thank you so much for coming on the show today. This was so much fun. Absolutely obsessed. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much as well. Enjoy your evening and we'll see you soon.
Yes, see you soon, my love. Bye.
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 What a lovely gal.
No, I absolutely love her.
Actually, quick shout out because Jamie Lee has a new show on Channel 4.
Yes, she does.
Screw. I'm 3 episodes in. It's freaking amazing. She's doing such a good job.
And also in the interview there, she was talking, because obviously sometimes we do these interviews a few months in advance, and she was talking about that horror...
Years.
Yes, 20 years in advance. It was actually just as she was born. And she was talking about the new horror movie that she filmed where she's being attacked by like loads of tiny, scary little people. And the trailer for that just came out. It's on her Instagram. So if you head to Jamie Lee O'Donnell on Instagram, it actually looks really, really
big
good.
Big things for our gal Jamie.
Yes, very exciting. So speaking of big things, obviously, you know, this podcast just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And we have to think, how are we going to outdo ourselves? So we thought we would finally, finally start reading some of this fan mail and these questions. Oh. Kiki, would you mind reaching into the sack and pulling out the first one, please?
Yes, let's empty this sack. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, here we go. Oh, it's a long one.
Oh, hang on. Prepare yourself.
I put my readers on. Put my readers on. Okay, so question. Hello, Kiki and Canley.
Canley, the new host.
My name is Canley. First, I'd like to thank you both for hosting such a great podcast. It's really helped me through what's been a very dark time in my life. For over 14 months, I've been living without electricity because my husband left me for Nora, a woman from our local energy supplier, and I refuse to pay any bills that will no doubt line her cheating pockets. As I live off the coast of County Clare, C-L-A-I-R-E... and electricity from a national supplier is not available here. I've been living amongst the shadows for the longest time. The wailing coastline winds as my soundtrack, surviving on out-of-date Tesco finest voulevants and plotting Nora and Declan's demise. All tips are welcome. Your podcast, which I've listened to weekly on Mildred's mobile library, has been the only light I've experienced in so long. A warm hug in these winter months. My question to you both is this. I have really been inspired by your homosexual lifestyles. And when leaving Mildred's mobile library last Sunday morning, I invited Mildred, a known lesbian on the island, to dinner at mine. She accepted, and now I'm worried about it. Now I'm worried about the night itself. The no electricity and only voulevants to serve. How can I impress her? Yours faithfully, June Bloom.
Voulevants?
Voulevants. Ask ABBA, they're not singing Vale.
Oh my God. June. Well, first of all, thank you for your letter and thank you for this photo. I mean, I'm not really sure how I would describe this look, Kiki. Is that it?
The nudity was uncalled
for. I mean, I just didn't want to say it. You know, it's 2022. You can offend anyone these days. So, I mean, she must be freezing on that island. She's obviously a nudist living in this house with no electricity and right on the coastline of Ireland. She must be freezing. So what would you do? I mean, first of all, I mean, congratulations, I think, on the switch to homosexuality and trying out the lesbian thing again. You know, it's a new year, new me is the vibe I'm getting from this letter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice to flip a switch and just change.
Yes. Well, that's what we can do. That's what we all decided to do when we were younger, you know, just decided.
Exactly. Yeah, we wanted this.
I mean, I wouldn't be too stressed about the out-of-date vol-au-vents and, you know, the no electricity. I mean, it works for Kiki. She sounds like she likes to travel and she likes to see new things. So what about you bring the date to her, get on that library and bring her on a little tour
a
de force.
A picnic by the beach, perhaps?
By the beach. Mm-hmm. So I think warm up those vol-au-vents as best you can. I'd maybe try to play it a little bit, you know, what would you say? A little bit hard to get.
No, I disagree there, Candy.
Okay.
We've a different opinion.
I knew
opinion.
I was gonna offend somebody.
Listen, girl, I say put yourself out there. Life is too short. She obviously seems like a woman who is in her autumn of life. I could be wrong. But she appears autumnal. I think she should just get on with it.
Yeah, the grey hair to the floor, actually. It looks like she's that she's dragging that hair. I actually thought it was a dress. Personally, if it was me, I'd at least put a pair of knickers on until day two.
Okay, at least have one tit out.
And you know what? I have another idea as well. I mean, obviously because of the pandemic, you know, we've all been kept indoors and the demand for a Friends of Dorothy tour is, I mean, it's terrifying now at this stage. So, I mean, we would be happy to jump on the bus. You know, from a little city.
I mean, we're waiting for Croke Park to become available.
Yeah, Ed Sheeran needs
to go for a date.
Move out and just give us a little chance because, you know,
Garth Brooks, who?
Yes. So, June, honestly, if things are heating up with Mildred, as I do suspect they will, if you're passing Cork, we would be more than happy to jump on the bus and record an episode or two en route to our next gig. So,
two episodes. Wow. Girls.
Yeah. Well, you know how fast we record these episodes. So, June, honestly, best of luck, and as always, we would love to see some photos. So date number one,
on Mildred's mobile library, please do send us a few snaps.
Send them in. Because we'd
absolutely love to see that. Thank you, June. Oh my God. Kiki, what a wild premiere. What a wild week back. How are you, my love? How are you feeling? And what are you looking forward to this weekend?
I'm good. I don't know if I'm really looking forward to this weekend, girl, to be honest, because there's a lot of shit to clean up, a lot of shit in the media. Because somebody's little sister has gone and wrote a tell-all book about me. My sister has gone and wrote a tell-all book. And I'm not too happy.
First of all, I mean, I didn't see this. Obviously, I didn't know you were getting some press coverage without me. So that's mm-hmm, that's interesting mm-hmm. to learn. What's the name of this book?
It's called Telling Everything.
Oh, is it okay? You didn't even name the book. What would you like me to ask? Okay, maybe let's try. What's the name of your sister? I didn't know you had
my sister's
sister.
Name. Yeah, Jamie Lynn. Jamie Lynn.
Oh.
So Jamie.
Jamie Lynn. I thought you were going to say. I thought you were. Sorry, that M. I thought you were going to say McCosey. I was going to say from Big Brother 5.
Fucking McCosey.
Sorry, what a niche reference.
But in the hot this, tub that's with what the pregnancy
this,
scare.
That's what this podcast. Can we just do an episode soon where it's just devoted to Big Brother moments?
Honestly, that would be such a good idea. Oh, Jesus. So McCosey, what a random.
So let's go back to this. So your sister Jamie Lynn is after writing a book about you.
Yeah, wrote a book about me, exposing all my tea, telling stories, sending out reading out text messages on podcasts. I mean, how common a podcast of all sort of things.
I know,
but
of
I'm pretty upset about her. Some ex-Nickelodeon star trying to make a few dollars off my back.
A few
again.
Dollars off your back. Yeah, again. Yeah.
Again, yeah.
And have you said anything to her? Have you reached out?
I have via Twitter. It's very public. We're not doing this behind closed doors. We're doing this very publicly.
Well, that's
all
how
over
we
Twitter.
Were trained. I mean, you know.
Yeah, very Jerry Springer-esque. We're going to go down that route because why be classy about things when you don't need to be?
Well, listen, Jamie Lynn, if you're listening to this, please do send me a copy of that book. I would be interested in reading it. Thank you.
Well, yeah, so basically that's what my weekend is going to be, shoveling shit from my sister's dropping the book of me.
Oh my God, Sahil, first of all, I'm sorry about that, my love. I'm sorry you're going through this moment. But from one bit of negativity to positivity on my end, I'm actually jetting off the cars outside. I'm jetting off to the table read of my new TV show that I'm working on, and it's Netflix, and it is from the makers of Emily in Paris, and it is called Candy and Cork, which I'm really excited about. As you know, Paris, Cork is the Paris of Ireland, as many people know, so I'm excited to
Paris.
Shine a light.
Wow, that's exciting. Like, I suppose Emily in Paris has a lot to do with like fashion and Paris and sights and culinary things.
Yes.
What can we expect to see in Cork?
I mean, very much the same thing. I mean, Cork is a fashion capital. Obviously, after I moved here, I really put it on the map for fashions. Mm. So, you know, one episode you're going to see maybe a little Penny's like moment, another little one might be a little Dunn Stores moment, little Michael Guiney's moment. It's really going to be the creme de la creme of Irish fashion, which I can't wait to show off. And then, just like Emily, I just imagine that every time I turn a street corner, I will, you know, meet a gorgeous man.
Well,
we'll see. So I am excited. I am excited. So at least one of us is going to have a nice positive weekend. So I'm off to the table read for that now, my love. And
lovely.
Good luck with your Twitter battles. I'm excited for this new season. I'm excited for what lays ahead. I just can't.
Oh, and a new feud. It's been a while.
I was about to say. We cannot get through a premiere with a feud, and I'm feeling good. I haven't had a feud in a very long time. Obviously, I have passed the torch, so let's.
Yeah, we're bringing the family in. It's getting very New Jersey housewives.
I think
up
let's
in here.
Stay in radio, my love. Let's stay in radio. Let's stay in touch. And next week, let's report
at least
back.
Till I lose more weight.
Well, you know, let's save it for another episode, my love. So listen, have a good weekend, and I look forward to hearing you and the latest JL update next week. Ta-ra.
Amazing. Bye. God bless.
We've been the friends of Doris A, Candy, Max, and Kiki.
See you next week.